Will you please pray with me? May the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, our coming Advent King. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. We examine the Old Testament text for today, Isaiah chapter 2, under the theme, Too Good to Be True. Have you ever had a dream you were sad to wake up from? But when you did, you realized that even while you were dreaming it, you knew it was a dream. And so whatever was happening was, too good to be true. You received that email, got that phone call from that unknown number. You saw that Facebook ad for that deal, right? 80% off brand name merchandise, a free $50 gift card to that grocery store. Too good to be true. We or others we know have been scammed and let down by things that are too good to be true, but we still find ourselves susceptible to it, wanting to believe some of those too good to be true things, because holding on to hope isn't an easy thing to give up. And I wonder if Isaiah himself even, and certainly those who heard or read his prophecy from Isaiah 2, must have thought, too good to be true. After all, Isaiah says, it shall come to pass in the latter days, the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established as the highest of the mountains and lifted up above the hills. But in his day, it was by no means the first and foremost of the mountains and hills and places of worship. Yahweh, the Lord, was seen as just one of any number of local gods, and a pretty weak and puny one at that, considering how low Judah and Jerusalem had become in the pecking order of the nations of the day. His house, the Jerusalem temple, had been grand in one day and age, but in Isaiah's day, it wouldn't have held any mystique at all for the neighboring peoples. It had fallen into disrepair and disuse, even misuse, as a place to worship many gods, not just the God of Jacob. And so again, for the mountain of the house of the Lord to be established as the highest of the mountains, for it to be lifted up above the hills, for it to be preeminent above all the places of worship, too good to be true. On top of that, the only reason nations and peoples flowed to Jerusalem and went up to the mountain of the Lord in Isaiah's day, conquer it, destroy it, desecrate it. First the Assyrians and the Babylonians, cheered on by the smaller nations around, they would let their army stream toward the capital of Judah, surround the city to weaken it, flow into it to take captives, and then level it to the ground. They were there to teach Judah a lesson, teach them their place in the hierarchy of nations. So for this prophecy to say, all nations shall flow to it, many peoples shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, that we may walk in his paths. Sounded too good to be true. Maybe that all sounds a bit distant to you and me. But we today still know that swords haven't been beaten into plowshares, nor spears into pruning hooks, nor atomic bombs into apple pickers, nor carbines into combines. Violence in cities, mass shootings, war in Ukraine and elsewhere, turmoil on every continent. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Too good to be true. And yet Isaiah declares, it shall come to pass in the latter days. Isaiah says this is no wish dream, this is no illicit internet scheme, it is not all too good to be true. Maybe it's not this day. The people around him maybe wouldn't see the way it could come to pass, but it shall come to pass. All of it will come true, Isaiah says. Through the greatness of the nation through renewing its splendor and grandeur of wealth and all those things?
Hardly.
Through the good behavior and peace-seeking of the people? Fat chance. Isaiah 1 through 2, if you read through it, is full of less than charitable descriptions of Jerusalem and its inhabitants in Isaiah's day. Greed, idolatrous, rebels, unjust, corrupt, just going through the religious motions if they went through them at all. So how shall this come to pass? Well, Isaiah declares in the middle of the text, out of Zion shall go forth the law, the Torah, the teaching of the Lord, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Like a megaphone blast going to the nations, the word of the Lord shall sound and draw all nations to it. Like a tornado siren over the town that can't be ignored, God's teaching will go forth to show the truth that He alone is God. He alone is to be worshipped and adored. It's God alone who will turn the scarlet sins of His people to be white as snow, their crimson crimes to become clean like wool. God will do it in His time, in His way. He will invite His people and all people to turn to Him in repentance and faith and stream to His house as the place where that all will be taught and learned. And so for us in this day, like the people of Isaiah's day, only in humbling our own ways and our own thoughts, only in submitting to God's judgments and His decisions, shall true peace be known. It shall come to pass. Maybe not this day, and we may not always see the way it may, but it shall come to pass. As I mentioned before, it's the first Sunday of Advent. New church year. But maybe it finds you wondering if the promises of God are too good to be true. You've scraped and scrimped through another year, and the prospects for next year don't look so good either. God promises to provide for all your needs? Maybe sounds too good to be true. You've suffered tragedy or loss in the past year. Some sorrow leaves this season darker than just the early setting of the sun. God's promises to heal hearts and bind up the brokenhearted? Maybe it sounds too good to be true. You know how scarlet your sin has been and is before God, even if others can't see it and don't have a clue. It shall be white as snow. Maybe that sounds too good to be true. And so we come to this season with all of that, perhaps in our minds, and the message is the hopes and fears of all the years are met in a little baby born in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago who lived his life mostly just 50 miles or so from Jerusalem, died the death of a serious criminal or rebel. And all God's promises are wrapped up in a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. If we're honest, sometimes it sounds too good to be true. But when you feel that way, you sit in good company. People of old knew. Isaiah knows. For many, many years, it shall come to pass, still seem too good to be true. Eventually, some of the people did repent. God did bring them back from exile in His time, but still war was brought to bear on their land time and time again. And after the battle of Syrians, the Babylonians and the Greeks came through, and the Romans, and people still didn't come to the Jerusalem temple to worship. The gods of the nations seemed to all the rest of the world greater than Israel's God. Isaiah's vivid visions still seemed very far from reality. But then the babe was born in Bethlehem. Then this Jesus grew and proclaimed that the kingdom and promises of God were being fulfilled in Him, that He was the very presence and dwelling of the house of the Lord. And as we heard today, He came and entered Jerusalem to the shouts of Hosanna in the highest. And He said to them, I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself. And lifted up he was on Calvary's hill. He who didn't lift up a hand or sword or even voice for himself, he who knew peace and did no violence himself, came to make peace between God and all humanity, came to make peace between God and you. One of the most violent deaths imaginable. But he didn't stay dead, did he? No, he rose from the dead and is now established forever as Lord and Savior and head of God's house, head of his church. And he sent forth the teaching and word of the Lord from Jerusalem, as it says in Luke 24. Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. Out of Zion, going forth the teaching and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem, the word that brings repentance and faith, that forgives sins, and brings healing and peace to the nations. He sent his disciples out, indeed, to teach his ways. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And so it has gone. It has come to pass from Jerusalem to Japan, from Rwanda to Rochester. The teaching and word of Jesus have indeed gone out to all nations. And individuals from all nations and peoples have flowed to the mountain of the Lord, the house of the God of Jacob, the place he is present to heal and forgive and renew and restore. The place we call, and the people we call, the church. Place where his word and sacraments are taught and given and shared. So yes, at times, still God's word and promises maybe still seem too good to be true. Maybe have faith, dear friends, to see them coming to pass in these latter days. As God still exalts and establishes his house, his church, as the place where he teaches people his ways, where people learn to walk in his paths. He has brought you into his gracious presence by the waters of your baptism. He has brought you peace with himself and taught you to follow his ways. And thus he sends us out. He gives us his teaching and word and invites us to share the good news of peace. Not just a lack of earthly war, but true and lasting peace, wholeness, and rest, to invite others to come to the house of God with us, to listen to his word and teaching, to invite them to trust that, even though it at times sounds too good to be true, in this Jesus, in this God, the God of the Bible, is the ultimate peace and justice we all long for. So we've come to the right place then, if the promises of God at times feel too good to be true. Because here your sins are forgiven and your hope is renewed. Here you hear of God's faithfulness to his word and promises in the past. And so he wants to renew your hope and strengthen your trust in him and his word, that what he says will come to pass. His word goes out to you today, and every day you hear and read his word, that your eternal needs of forgiveness, life, and salvation have been accomplished in Jesus' death and resurrection, and so that even now you can find healing and hope and comfort in his word and spirit, that he places people in your life, one another in the church, other faithful fellow Christians, to speak and share that word with you, to be his shoulder of comfort to you, that God hears your cry and knows your need, that no matter how dark your road here, as you walk by faith in Jesus, as you cling to him in faith through all of the too good to be true times of life, you're walking in the light of the Lord. His face is shining on you. He's giving you peace. Peace with himself now, the promise of full rest and restoration in the last of all the latter days, the last day when Christ comes again. to the promise of God, the hope of his people, is that one day we will come to that perfect place. That one day we trust that it will come to pass, that too good to be true will no longer be possible. But we will live in the truth of the perfect goodness of God in Jesus' return. And even now we walk by the light of the Spirit. We can walk with one another in those times where we wonder if God's promises and word are too good to be true, and be with one another, reminding each other that God is faithful, and that we are there for each other as God's house and his church together. God moves us by his Spirit to give one another glimpses of that peace, glimpses of that restoration, glimpses of a certain hope of that comfort he gives, and that he will come to bring perfectly one day forever. And so let us not give up hope that it will come to pass. For no, dear friends, it's not too good to be true. As Isaiah says, it shall come to pass in the latter days. And so let us walk in the light of the Lord this day and always. In the name of Jesus.